You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Heart-wrenching testimony. If you've been watching the trial of Adam Montgomery, one of the most prolific figures, I think, that we've seen, Kayla Montgomery, coming out and giving her accounts as being the one that was in that vehicle with Harmony and Adam when allegedly Adam struck Harmony and took her life. And then the preceding months of carrying her body around and storing it in bizarre and strange places and seemingly being unaware or unattuned or not sensing the rotting, decaying body in this bag that they were carrying. I mean, it's absolutely shocking, quite honestly, hearing some of the testimony that came out of Kayla Montgomery. Joining us to discuss, Eric Fadis, defense attorney. Eric, what was your takeaway from Kayla Montgomery's testimony this last week? And I mean, sometimes her very emotional and then sometimes seemingly indifference to the absolute deplorable acts that she had been a part of or was witnessing while with Adam in that car and on that journey.
Yeah, just some chilling stuff. I mean, this is like the stuff of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Riding around with the dead body, your child's dead body, and it's just sort of hard to even fathom for folks like us who've been following the trial. You know, with respect to her testimony, we always want someone on the stand to be, you know, a salt of the earth person and an angel and to be totally believable and credible. But in these scenarios, that's just not what you have. You know, Kayla Montgomery participated allegedly, or at least had some involvement in this entire transaction. And so, you know, were there some times where she was hard to believe? Yes. But other times, you know, she just doesn't have a big motive to completely frame her husband for this grisly murder, especially when she's going down herself in a way too.
Well, exactly. I know she had the plea deal to testify. And you know, with that being said, that seems to be the whole strategy of Adam Montgomery right now is to excuse me, pin this on that of, look, you got this plea deal. You're going to say whatever you need to say right now to get him arrested or get him charged and then eventually found guilty on these charges. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad strategy, I guess, in some ways, shapes, and forms, because she's not a very credible witness.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's kind of all Adam Montgomery has right now to go on. And so, you know, what his defense team needs to do is sort of frame it such that the prosecution's case hinges upon the believability of Kayla Montgomery, the mother, mm-hmm. and her believability just isn't great.
No.
And so, you know, the strategy makes sense from a defense perspective.
It does, but Kayla is far from the only one up there testifying. There's, you know, CPS workers, there's been investigators, there's, you name it. There's a lot of people testifying. Actually, far more than I was expecting, because this seemed like a fairly open and shut case. But being the fact that the defense is going down that road of look, Kayla Montgomery is not credible, and her testimony seems to be some of the most impactful. Is that why they're needing, is that why the prosecution is bringing out, you know, far more than I guess otherwise you would need to in a case like this to really cement in the mind that, look, yeah, Kayla's not super credible, we know that, but all these other people are?
Yeah, I think that's a keen insight because, you know, the prosecution sort of has to kind of pad their file, buttress their case, have something else besides Kayla Montgomery's, you know, questionable believability on which they can hang their hat. And so, like you said, they've got a bunch of other folks who have testified about other facets of the case. But in truth, really, the meat of it really does come down to Kayla and what she said on that stand against Adam. But like you said, a lot of it was impactful. A lot of it was compelling, mm-hmm. despite some of the shortcomings of the testimony.
When it comes down to it, I mean, when you look at the behavior of both of them, of Adam Montgomery, of Kayla Montgomery, it's not a crazy stretch to believe that Adam is the one who struck Harmony. Kayla doesn't seem to have the track record of doing that, of being a horrible human being, sure, of being neglectful, of just making horrible choices in the throes of her addiction, without a doubt, but not necessarily the one that's going to beat the little girl to death. I mean, she seemed to be at a very pathetic level trying to care, and I say that in air quotes, you know, for the kids in, I guess, the way that she knew how in her addict mind. So is it that strong of an argument when it comes to the defense saying, look, she's not credible? But except for that one point, though, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm sure we got kind of half truths on and this and that. But that point, I don't know. That's a hard one, honestly, for me, too, knowing that she does lie about tons of things, to think that she's the one who struck her and killed her.
Yeah, exactly. So the jury has got to be thinking about who could have done this? Who has the capacity to do this? Who really could have brought about this most grisly, heinous act? And Kayla Montgomery just doesn't exude that. That doesn't come off from her during her testimony. Adam Montgomery, however, sometimes even just his demeanor, sometimes the way that he is on the body cam certainly appearing callous and disinterested in his daughter's fate. I think the jury's going to get the impression that if there's anyone who could have done this among the folks who were there, Adam Montgomery is a prime suspect.
Oftentimes, if a person chooses not to go to their own trial, I mean, it looks pretty bad. It's not something I think most would ever recommend to a client. But I am wondering in this case, if Adam Montgomery is your client and seeing the way that he has behaved in court already when he did make an appearance and just how off-putting of a figure he is, is the reason he is staying back not necessarily because he's just a horrible human being and doesn't want to face reality in the courtroom and be judged, but is this part of the strategy? Is this part of his attorney saying, look, you are such an off-putting figure that just your existence in this courtroom is not going to help you? It's a weird dynamic that's very rare, I think, to see in a trial. But what do you think about that? Is Adam staying back on his own fruition, or is this part of the strategy?
Yeah, you know, certainly a curious approach by the defense. Usually you want to have the defendant there because it shows that they care. And my gosh, if someone was wrongly accused of killing their own child, the jury's going to expect, hey, this guy's going to want to be there. And he's going to want to refute the evidence that's coming out. But like you said, he is just, in some people's eyes, so dastardly and just presents so horribly that maybe his defense attorneys say, hey, the less Adam Montgomery this jury sees, the better.
Yeah, it's a very interesting strategy, but I mean, I'm not an attorney. I mean, you know that world a hell of a lot better than I do. But just looking at it from the outside in, I'd be like, that might not be a bad strategy of just, if they don't have to see you, I mean, it's not going to help you that much, but I think it could only hurt you further than being there. It's like, you're already going to be found guilty, but I don't know. I mean, he's probably going to be in there for the rest of his life with no parole, I hope. But
No, totally. And I mean, there's just such a black cloud around this case. It's just so, depressing and egregious and horrible. And perhaps the defense thinks, you know, if I can neutralize that by limiting the exposure of the jury to my client who presents terribly, maybe that is some sort of small win. And if there's, you know, the defense needs as much as that as they can get in this case.
They'll take anything they can get right now, it seems.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.